right, I call the June 6th, 2023 special board meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and state the time.
Great, it's 7:02. Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey is arriving late. Commissioner Schneider?
Here.
Commissioner Spector?
Here.
President Spain?
Here. Okay, and it doesn't look like, other than our guest, that we have any members from the public in attendance today, so I think we can move on. So John and Becky are here, and they're going to introduce Gabrielle Castillo from RecStar, who will give a presentation on survey results and will be available to answer any commissioner questions.
Great. Before we start, I don't think all of our board members have met Becky. So Becky is our HR professional. You keep her really busy. You've been here a year and a half?
Year? 2 years in August.
2 years in August. So just so you're all familiar with the new person at the table. So, all right, John.
Thank you, Lisa, President Spain. Good evening, everyone. So this year we did engage with the outside firm to complete our annual employee survey. That was RecStar Consulting. We did that in an effort to reinforce the confidentiality and anonymity for our survey participants, just make sure they feel a little more comfortable responding to the survey and comfortable that their responses are indeed confidential. We also were pleased to offer the staff survey in two languages this year. Employees had the option of completing the survey with either English or Spanish versions. So again, Becky Moore, our HR manager, played a significant role in this process along with Gabriel. So I wanted to just thank both Gabriel and Becky for all their hard work in pulling this information together. And with that, I'll turn it over to Gabriel Castillo, who is the founder and president of RecStar.
Yeah, thank you, John. Good evening, commissioners and board staff. I think John already said all my whole introduction and spiel, so.
Jeez, John.
Ditto, right? I guess I'm done. So, again, good evening. I'm excited because, you know, I met John at conference, at the IPRA conference in January, and we got to discussing, and he had talked about the women's survey. I said, you know, the number one thing about employee surveys is that confidentiality and that anonymity. If I can't trust that the HR department or the staff members are going to take my responses or not manipulate them in any way or form or shape, then the probability of you getting good results keeps on going down. So that excited me. I said, you know, you don't have to use me, you can use another company, but the biggest thing is getting that third party to take some of that anonymity away. And so let's look at, let me tell you a little bit about my background so you can kind of see where I'm coming from. So I am a veteran of the parks and recreation industry. I spent 20 years within the parks and recreation industry. I worked for a village, I worked for a park district, I worked for private recreation, I worked for the cruise lines, I spent a year at Aurora University teaching undergrad. So my background is specifically in parks and recreation as well as marketing. I have worked with some of your staff members in the past in volunteer capacities through IPRA or NRPA as well. And currently, I'm the founder and president of RecStar Consulting that helps smaller organizations and park districts and recreation departments around the country to do employee surveys, to look at marketing, to do focus groups. So kind of some of the stuff that I saw so much as an employee to help those companies kind of continue to work on those. Incremental changes are much better. So that's a little bit about my background. Let's go into the why. And I said about the why of meeting John is that anonymity. And, you know, it ensures that employees feel comfortable by submitting honest feedback. That's what they need. It makes them feel secure in responses that they don't have to worry about retaliation or retribution on some of the information that they're giving. Third, it encourages employees to focus on concrete feedback, whether, how do I need to phrase this answer because I'm afraid someone may see it. Again, as that professional, I've lived it, seen it, and I've seen HR departments retaliate against it. It's unfortunate, but that's why that third party is so critical. And then the anonymity, I'm taking it away from your HR department or within your department, helps to relieve that bias that an HR person or someone from your class, I saw that response, that's XYZ. We're just going to throw that one out. Or manipulate it a little bit so that it fits in with what the park district or recreation department is looking for. So that is the why I came into this partnership with the Glencoe Park District. So one of the reasons why employees are critical for organizations is, recognizing employee needs. It's good that the Glencoe Park District is utilizing these surveys. And I advocate for continuing those surveys. It improves company culture. It enhances efficiency and productivity. It establishes balance with employees and the expectations of the organization as well. And overall increases employee satisfaction. So those are critical ways why continuing to get employee feedback and do employee surveys are critical for your organization's success. So let's dive into a few of the statistical data behind the survey. So we had 100 staff members that we sent the survey out to, 43 full-time staff, 57 part-time, and of all those 100, we had 52 employees complete the survey, and that's a 52% response rate. Now, some may say, that's a little bit kind of half-half, right, 50%. Well, for the average employee survey, it's about 30 to 50% is good results. And we definitely were over that 50% rate. Can we do better? Absolutely. Do we want to do better? Absolutely, too. We want to make sure we get as many percentage of those staff members as we can. And we'll continue to have some ideas to improve that. Let's look at some survey modality. Of those 100 employees, 32 of them filled out the survey through email. This year, I offered the QR code. 19 of those employees filled out the survey through QR code, which makes it even more anonymous. I can't even know who's filling out that survey. It shows a blank line in my software because it came through their phone, their mobile phone, and I can't track that. I can track everything from an email perspective, but when it comes to a QR code, it gives them total anonymity. So through the QR code, you have the opportunity to do it through computer or smartphone. And as John said, we have the English version and we added the Spanish version as well this year, which is a great opportunity to diversify. Some other statistics that I thought were of note, administration. We had 15% of the administration. That was an increase this year from previous years. So we had 2022 and 2021 data. I think this one really specific to 2022 because we didn't track this in 2021. But these are some statistical data. We had an increase in administration filling out the survey. We had an increase in recreation filling out the survey. We had an increase in parks and facility maintenance. Now, some of that comes through that QR code, because how many of you, the parks guys, they're not sitting behind a computer. Pretty much they should have a smartphone, but they're not sitting behind that computer. Our decrease was the early childhood. We saw a decrease in that area, which is your part-time staff, And then another one, prefer not to answer. That was a decrease. That's actually a positive. Because in the previous, it was up to 10%. They preferred not to answer. They wanted that anonymity. So we saw that decrease, which is a good sign that having a third party was critical for this report. And then we saw 2% in other, which was an increase. Any questions so far? All right. I only got 50 more minutes, so. Our new modified questions for 2023. I am proud to work with the Glenville Park District. I would recommend Glenville Park District as a place for my friends and family. This is really a benchmark question that a lot of surveys have, maybe not in this framework, but ask about friends and family. Because if they're not recommending friends and family, you got an issue there. That says, I don't want you to be a lifeguard in my places. There are some challenges there. But as you see, we have 94% of the Glenville Park District employees strongly agree or agree that the Glenville Park District is a great place to work, and I would recommend it for my family and friends. So a good benchmark, that's something that we should continue to see throughout the surveys in the coming years. And see if that number continues to increase, decrease, or stay the same. Another modified question that we saw was question 11. There are policies and procedures of the Glenville Park District that should be reviewed to be more diverse, equitable, and inclusive workplace. Now, 82% of the employees said, no, the policies and procedures are great. We like what we're seeing here. We like what we're growing, which is a good sign. The other 13% said, there are things that we can do here at the Park District can see. I recommend the idea committee that you have to, is take that 13% and dive into it and be able to work it and move forward. I saw some great ideas from this question. If you look through the comments, there were some great ideas about bringing some of the women leaders into it or looking specifically at DEI process. So looking at the DEI process, all through the policies and procedures, not just specific ones. So that's a great area where the committee can dive into and look at that 13% and see where you can incrementally improve. And that's what all this is about, is incrementally improving, getting better year after year, month after month. A couple major takeaways that we saw within our data across multiple questions, the district showed a year-over-year incremental increase in percent of employees selecting strongly agree or agree in our surveys. So questions 4, 10, 13, 14, questions 17, 19, saw that incremental increase across year-over-year of employees selecting strongly agree or agree. Another major takeaway we saw, question 5. I have tools and resources I need to perform my job effectively. We saw a 20% increase over the last 2 years. So there were some major opportunities to increase the resources to be able to do their jobs, giving staff the tools, empowerment to succeed. Question 12 also saw an 8% increase in the response rate. It talks about teamwork and cooperation, which is a positive thing. Positive outcomes that are major takeaways from the survey. Now, as always, there's always room for improvement and always areas where we can improve on. Question 15, does this keep informed changes to policies and initiatives? Showed a 13% decrease. Question 16, district-wide employees communicate effectively from department to department, had a 17% decrease. And I will touch on that later on in the discussion about silos in the communication, but that's where we have room for improvement. And it's not unlike any other district or corporation or organization. A lot of organizations struggle with these type of communication challenges. So, recommendations on what I just kind of focused on, those questions of 15 and 16, is collaboration and communication. All right, and like I said, a lot of districts within the surveys that I see, that is their number one area that they struggle with, is communication and collaboration, getting more of the teamwork together. And we saw that in the specific questions about teamwork, was the increase, but some of that collaboration communication had a small decrease, and that opportunity for changing incrementally, getting better each year. Recommendations on silos. We talked about silos within organizations. Actually, 15 to 60% of organizations struggle with silo communication within their organization. And I think a couple areas where, ways to break down those silos is provide that cross-training or cross-training opportunity. It's there here in the district. They're doing it. Continue to do it. Continue to focus on maybe how we can tweak a little bit better and opening those communication lines. Just on time. All right. Breaking down silos. Establish the interdepartment team. Guess what? You're already doing it with the idea team. Maybe you can expand it outside of the DEI format that you probably already have there. This is the opportunity for those teams to dive into more problem solving and how we can bring some of those issues up to administration to solve overall. But I challenge them to come up with solutions and ideas from those perspectives and bring it up. So it's two-way communication. It's free flow versus the silo effect. And a lot of times, you get worried, people just want to stick within their zone and they don't want to share that information. Through the Friday communication evidence, they are sharing it. How can we continue to get that information out? Now, one thing Aaron will know as far as marketing, if we're doing the same thing over and over and over again, maybe it's time to tweak. Communication, collaboration is dynamic. You can't constantly do the same thing over and over. Each year, you gotta do a little bit different. People kind of get bored. Staff members don't like to read a lot. So getting that information easily out to them through those teams, I think would be beneficial, breaking down some of those silos. Offer that cross-collaboration training. That's an area that we saw within the survey had a small decrease. We're getting opportunities to get more training. It's a challenge because it's expensive. It's timely. Kind of getting everyone in one room at one time is a challenge. That's where you utilize your teams to figure out those, or you're utilizing technology to figure out more ideas to get into communicate people. Within one of my organizations, all our board meetings or our staff meetings, they're all Zoom. We have everyone, even though we might be in the office, we have members all over the country that come in, and so that we're all in one area. So utilizing technology. I have a colleague in works for the City of Dallas for Parks and Recreation Department. He has 14 rec centers across about 30 miles. You think he gets to every rec center every day? Absolutely not. I mean, talk about silos. I mean, he gets about one per month in his rotation and then starts it over again. So he's always looking for some kind of a way to communicate with those staff, those districts. Whether it's a project management software or some kind of technology where they have open lines of communication or some type of dashboard. So utilizing that technology and communication to break down those silos. as we talked about before, recommendations, looking at those policies and procedures, using that, the DEI or ideas group to jump into that. Take that 13% and really figure out where you can improve. Investing in technology and development as well as in talent investment. Critical. We just talked about it. That's that communication piece, especially with your new employees that are coming up, that all they want to communicate with is their phone, right? They don't want to even talk to you, they want to pick up the phone. Those staff, you have to find different ways to communicate with them. You talked about generational communication. The older generations pick up the phone, the newer generations pick up their cell phone to text, and then you have people who just want to FaceTime, a little outside my generation, which I'm not comfortable with, but those generational areas, you gotta make sure you're covering them across the board when you're talking to all your staff members. Does that make sense? Very good. So keep on investing in technology and investing in talent. There are opportunities, especially coming out of 2021, where if you look at those statistical data, I just want to tell you that 2021 was a very different year. You all lived it, you know, compared to 2022 and the 2023 data that we see. If you're comparing that, I don't want to say throw it out, but it is definitely a little bit different because it's that COVID year. So when we talk about being able to train, can't get everyone in a room together? Of course not, that's COVID time. So, as we move out of COVID, moving past into 23, 24, use those opportunities to train your staff, get them collaboration, get them communication. I think it's critical what we've seen through the survey results. My next recommendation is qualitative over quantitative research. I like a balance between the quantitative and qualitative. Is have those percentage of statistical data, the benchmarks, like how do you recommend the park district to your friends and family? Absolutely, those are benchmarks. Have those in there. But I'd like to see a little bit more quantitative within the future surveys. That's what I would recommend. And start to get more comments. I know I talked to John, you're already doing focus groups with 110%. That's great. Keep on doing those items. That's that part that, you know, you have the instructor in the room, they're giving you great feedback. Let's balance it out between quantitative and qualitative. Now, while it's great to have, 92% of people are happy with our district, it's hard to work on specific things when you just know, okay, over in general, 92%. Versus some of those ideas that you have from, tell me a program that you're really in love with. Tell me a program that really fell short. So quality over quantitative, balance them out. That's what I would recommend, a balance. And as we know, life balance is critical, right? Keeps us sane, keeps us upright and balanced. And then finally, we've taken all this data, we've taken the comments, we've taken the ideas that you're getting from your staff. Now it's time to act. Take action on the things you can. Take that incremental changes. A professional in the field by the name of Tom O'Rourke, he likes to say, change. Nothing changes if nothing changes. All right, so you gotta take the small actions. It don't have to be big, but you got to act on those little things that you're hearing about. Act on the things that you can control. Act on the things that you have within your budgetary functions to continue to get better. Incremental increases. That's all I have for you. I feel free to open up to the commissioners for any questions that you may have.
Does anybody have any questions? Bart?
Yeah, so I thought this was a great presentation, and it's great you pointed out areas where there's been some decline. But overall, as I looked at it, And it's what I hope for and expected. There's continuity year after year in the pandemic and coming out of the pandemic of high performance. So it's if they go from 89 to 92 or something, they go from the mid-90s. But it's consistently high. But if anything, the trend is actually up, which may be coming out of, and that's a hard combination to have high performance and an upward trend. But what I don't think you can share with us is how we compare to other park districts. You know, you got people in Texas or whatever, but I don't know if you can just generally say, how does this compare to a lot of the park type districts?
Yeah, I can't give you specifics, but statistically, I told you, like, a lot of districts all struggle with the communication. A lot of districts struggle with the silos. Those are main things that we see in a lot of districts. That's the number one. Even going so far as to talk about onboarding. But that really comes back to communication, is when you're onboarding new employees, how much are you communicating with them? Do they feel like they're part of that team? We also see that as well. So we can't pinpoint and say, okay, XYZ district, what I can say is generally is communication is the big one. Silos, teamwork, those are pretty much the common themes within the parks and recreation industry that we see district after district after district. Some of those districts are hard to compare because their staff are so small, like a Sycamore, which is like about 14 full-time staff members. So those are, it's hard to compare apples to oranges, but I will say overall, those things that we talked about are continually struggling. A lot of districts, a lot of organizations continue to struggle at them. Finding those niches where you can continue to improve are good. The one thing you talked about is a year over year. A lot of times your full-time staff are going to be that continual. You'll see those numbers. It's where your part-time staff turnover is you'll start to see a little bit more fluctuation within part-time. That wasn't making a recommendation. It's actually had to pull out the surveys and see this is a full-time survey, this is a part-time survey. Not saying that you have to do that, but it could be a great recommendation for maybe A/B testing to see how it works. It's the same questions, but they're really pulled apart so you see, okay, it's all part-time, this is all full-time, and you can maybe kind of compare and contrast those numbers in the future.
Just like them nice and data differently.
Correct. What was the thought process around continuing prior surveys versus, it sounds like you have a lot of ideas about maybe better ways to survey the staff, whether it be making the question more precise or, I guess, understanding a little bit more of the breakdown of who's responding. Do you help design surveys? And I guess, why weren't some of these changes incorporated into this one?
I'll speak for my company right now. I definitely help other organizations to pinpoint what their needs are, and the Glenville Park District's needs were to continue on the surveys they have. The other opportunity that I work on that I create a part is the quarterly surveys. And so you're looking at a district quarterly, and you have these bucket systems. So that first bucket is more about communication. The second bucket is about benefits. The third bucket is about policies and procedures. So you're breaking it up into the whole year. You're getting feedback, which is better to be able to change something that maybe needs immediate change. And these are ideas. I'm right in the middle of finishing up a pilot program with another park district on these four quarters, along with the focus group, but you're already doing the focus group right now. But having four quarters that target specific information. And you can have Right now there's four quarters. You could have four buckets, or you can have 10 buckets to choose from, depending on what your goals and objectives are. So if your goals and objectives are really target about onboarding, which is one of the districts was wanting to figure out, they found out they were having poor onboarding scores. And so we put a lot of questions that focus on onboarding. How was your first week at the job? Did you connect with your supervisor? Was there anything better that we could have done to onboard you in the future? So we're pinpointing specific items that we're struggling with. But that's an idea too. The other idea is what you have called simple pulse. They get one question randomly. That is throughout the year too. So for my program that I'm running, they would get the four quarterly surveys, and then they would get maybe two pulses throughout that year, specific on maybe how was the summer or how did this, whatever item that you're having, maybe communication issues or challenges with, that you can pinpoint specific information and do some incremental change with.
Question for staff. So I know you have an annual review. Do you do quarterly conversations?
We do through our focus groups. Now that we're coming out of the pandemic, we're doing a lot more of those. So we just did with 110%. When we looked at some of these survey results, but no really explanation of why. There are some that were really a little lower, but no examples. Mm-hmm. We plan to pull those same groups of those that we had about 7 employee focus groups, pull those same groups in and kind of try to drill down on those questions about what do you think this means? How can we do better? And they may not have answered in a negative way, but we're just going to try to pull out, how do you think we could do better in those areas? So we think that will help tremendously. We struggle, our biggest struggle is, and it was mentioned in the survey, naturally, Park District employees are very social. They want to meet other members of their team. It's hard to do that. We even struggle to have a one yearly full-time and part-time year-round staff meeting because of our children's circle. They're hardly ever off, and when they are off, you know, they have to figure all their DCFS qualifications in those two in-service meetings. So we're trying to figure out how we can do that, how we can piggyback on that and make sure that we have at least one with everybody there, and then do more, now that we're out of the pandemic, more social things to allow people to get in. All of our full-time and part-time have an opportunity to join any of our committees. So our idea committee or our green team or our employee recognition, any staff member can join those, and we welcome them too. We have pretty good participation, so that's another way that they can give feedback and affect change on these. So we also do we do our seasonal survey at the end of the summer. That takes effect all the staff that just come and work for our seasonal jobs in the summer. So that's another survey we do.
And obviously you have the one very disgruntled staff member that made those comments. So always upsetting to see, just because they're, my question is always, why do you still work here if you're so miserable? But I'm
great
sure
question,
that,
great question.
You know, that, and you may have some idea of who that is, but just addressing, you know, knowing that that's there, because that spreads negativity, so that's always not great to see. Not that it's surprising, every company has it.
You're always going to have the squeaky wheel that voices their opinion, and your professional staff will know where what's real and what's not. And then, you know, every now and then, it may be the wheel is loose and it needs to be tightened up. But that's part of the survey. Getting that information, whether positive, negative, in between, is moving for incremental change forward, and that's what the surveys are here to do.
But Gabriel's right. We do kind of pinpoint, if we see there's a pattern of many comments of the same thing, that's indicative to a larger problem. If it's one-off, there may be a disgruntled employee who's maybe never happy in any job they have. So we kind of look, is there more than one comment? Is there more than we can, there's things we can do? And what we pinpointed in our recommendation, these are just a couple examples, we put them in the memo and that I'm sure you all read. We're reviewing our personal policy manual right now, and Jenny and Becky and John get tests. We're going through it with a fine tooth comb. I think it takes us, we meet every week for an hour, and I think we get through a paragraph each time. So we're really looking at our benefits, our training, things like that, and we'll bring those back once we're done with the review. The DEI or whatever part of it, we'll be implementing that also. So those are all part of it that we'll bring back to you. All district meetings I talked about. With COVID restrictions lessening, we're hoping that makes it easier for staff to go into different wings. For example, there's a comment about wanting to see the administration team more in the early childhood wing. We realize that some staff don't feel valued unless someone sees their work being done. And for a while there, we couldn't go down in those wings. We stood away. We also realized that when I go down there, there's also a big portion that are really afraid when I go down, for no other reason than I'm the director, and that's my title, and what are you doing down here? Am I going to get fired? You know, so we have to work through that, because I might show up there, or Bobby might show up there a lot, and next year we get a response, well, the administrator don't trust us, and they're always down there. So we kind of have to balance those from what some people want and what some people don't want. So is there anything else that we talked about in our...
I was just going to say, actually, to Gabe's point earlier, too, it's really balancing the qualitative and quantitative data. So while we did see a comment that certainly wasn't, you know, something that we want to see, there were other qualitative comments that were overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah.
And really, as we looked at the quantitative data, to Bart's point, we felt that we were scoring very well in where our percentages were winding up. It's certainly the recommendation of your friend or family being in the 94th percentile there was
huge.
Overwhelmingly positive response, I feel. So I think it is just finding that balance and not overreacting to that one comment, but again, getting that balance of quantitative and qualitative. I feel like we got a lot of quantitative survey, and now through the things that Lisa pointed out that we're going to be doing and have been doing, the focus groups and really trying to get some more of that qualitative data to pair up with what we have in the survey. So,
and I think we've made great strides since we launched the Friday update, which actually was thanks to the board, because the board wanted it first, and then we thought this is a great tool for staff too. But what we discovered is young people don't go into their emails. I mean, they don't. So, we're already trying to figure out how we can get that Friday update to people that never go into their email. Do we text a link? So there's technology that we can use, as he talked about, figure out how to reach those individuals in different ways so that they feel that connection and communication. Yes, we have a great open rate, 78%. Yeah.
So we were talking about doing text and links to the...
What was interesting, we did one of the focus groups, and this is just one thing I'll pull out before we get our final report, but when we did one of the focus groups, it was interesting because someone says, well, we never get any communication. No one ever tells us what's going on. And right away, three staff members jumped in. Like, are you kidding? You have the Friday update every week. Well, I don't read that. Well, we can't make you read. And they actually combated that comment. It was really interesting. We can go on the website and see any board packet. They told us how to find that information. Well, I don't want to read that. So we still have to figure out how to make everybody happy in that particular, right?
So first of all, thank you for doing this. I know I'm really appreciative of the work you made and do this. I think the results are fantastic, right? We're going to have a bad comment, and that's totally normal. Back when we have, I don't know if this is a whole slew of them, but the fact we kind of had one person that was overwhelming to me is a loud voice, but not the most logical voice. So we have to just keep that in consideration. If you really want to get people to read your emails, and this is 2023, you're going to have to do something. I know, look at Bobby over there. Tell you, you've got to have to Peloton this. You have to do gamification. because you put a quiz at the end, and then at the end of the year you put, hey, look, this is what percent of people got it, got all, you know, 12 quizzes right. Like, gamification is what gets people to do things.
Is that a word you invented? I just want to know.
No, that's what Peloton does, right?
I love it.
It gives you badges, it gives you this. So if you put at the end of your, you know, weekly email, hey, guess how many people have birthdays in the month of June, whoever comes closest, you know, and you kind of make a game out of it, and this way people, you know,
love that.
Can do it, you get points for right questions, and then things like that, like, it's easy to do.
That is a great idea. We love that.
Ridiculously.
I'm going to steal that one.
And it costs you nothing.
Yeah, like, a prize at the end of the year. That's great.
Like, something out there. With gamification, I think, would help. But I have a question about comps.
You're absolutely right.
Well, even a broken clock is right twice a year. I got that statement correct. Communication, I think, we see this area where I work. Communication is always hard. FOMO is real. People always feel. I'm sure the beach people are going to feel like they're left out of what's going on with the basketball people who are just going to be left out. Childcare, fine. It happens, and I don't think it's that big of a deal. But you mentioned communications and what things we can do. How do you feel versus push versus pull? Like, do you think it's better to, you know, if you are pushing these out by email, the communication will come, but like, do you feel like that is a much, if you could use one or the other, do you push or do you pull? Do you try and sit there with these focus groups and grab it? Obviously, it would be both, but which one is more impactful in a scary like this?
I'll take it from a marketing standpoint, because I'm also a marketing professional. We do that balance of push-pull marketing. Right now, I would say with content being king, it's pulling them in, drawing them in, especially versus pushing out. Because at some point you push, and they're like, okay, I'm done.
Right, I've read this before, the Friday emails too long.
You see it, like how many emails are you sending? Are you sending an email every day? Because then you're push, and you're like, I'm done. Versus you're drawing them in, you're fishing them in with great content.
Yeah.
That's the big thing across the board is, you know, is the content. Great, what you're saying, is it interesting? You know, and you're right. People got, it's not the communication, but people got to read it, you know, listen to it, or see it.
It's hard.
So I'm going to, maybe you have the audio version too.
But half the people think the communication is not in that agree or strongly agree, but 94% feel this is a great place to work. That, to me, it's all about question eight. Like,
yeah.
If I'm going to ask one question, it's going to be question eight, and I'm going to get an overall sense of where things are. And so that one made me feel good. My last question is for you, Lisa. How are you going to communicate these results to your employees?
Yeah, and so I was surprised with that answer, one of those answers. So what we do is that we, as an administrative team, meet on this, and then they take it down to their managers and the, so they'll say, that, for example, the rec team will meet on it, each team will meet on it with their manager, full-time staff, and from there, then it goes to all their team members, and they meet. In addition, we'll present it at our all-staff meeting, which will be October, and then we have one with just full-time parks. So not early childhood, it'll be presented there, and then it'll also be available in the break rooms, the break rooms, and then we'll also push out information through our Friday update. So similar to what we did last year, we did all this last year.
It'll be on our intranet also.
And it'll be on our intranet too.
And
so
the meeting with all full-time and part-time, with the exception of children's circles, is actually next month.
It's in July, we're doing something. So. Kind of did all that last year, so we really tried to get that information out, so that's why I was surprised that they
did. I think when that happens, it builds this sense of, hey, look, we leadership are seeing what your comments are, and we are open and honest and taking them into consideration.
Right, and we're trying to hit them in many different ways.
Yep.
And there'll always be someone that will rate us low because I gave you an idea, you didn't implement it. And that may happen. And when we know that, if we know who the person implementing that idea is, we do this now. Either their department head or myself sits down with them and say, hey, this is why we can't implement that. So if they ask, for example, paid maternity leave, you know, we would sit down and say, these are the kind of the roadblocks that we have. Any solutions? So, for example.
Thank you.
Jordan, did you have any questions or anything? I guess I just maybe open it to any other comments or discussion from the board. I think that this was really helpful. I think one of the things that would be helpful going forward is based on some of your recommendations is to maybe, I guess, keep questions for continuity, but also add to them just to have more specifics. And I think that would go away in like maybe professional, not that the questions are, they are pretty standard questions, but the kind of professional advice on how to get the most out of the responses would be useful. And perhaps that'll also help the employees feel more heard if they have, rather than just the comment box. So, any other comments, questions?
I think that's great feedback and balancing the continuity versus like the new questions. I know I was so pleased when we got the green light to bring Gabriel on board, giving that confidentiality and seeing the last 2 years have been like anything but normal. So seeing 21, 22, 23 and seeing that we're consistently ranking well gave me, and made it confidential too, made me feel really relieved and pleased that we're really supporting staff and definitely want to keep looking at how we can tweak questions and bring in some expertise from people like Gabriel to keep moving forward.
How far back do we compare data? I know you, I think you said 22 and we were just looking at 22, but do we have data from similar surveys that go back 4 or 5 years or?
I think we could keep going further back. I think we benchmarked those 3 years just to not go back too far.
We do have questions, but they're a little bit different.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Was something that we pushed for a couple years ago. Same questions year over year.
So we have baseline. But I like the idea of adding more. So if we know that communication's a problem, next year maybe we should fine tune some questions to get more information out of that communication. Like, I don't know what those questions are, but we'll figure those out.
Well, you have someone to advise.
Yes.
Great.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you for attending.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think now we have a discussion on procedures for herbicide use in parks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Lisa and Kyle.
Yeah, we just want to talk a little bit more about, because it's been a while since we visited this subject with the board, and we've seen some changes in our environment, changes to some things that are happening, so we just want to revisit this. I'm going to throw it over to Kyle to walk you through this, and thank you, Becky.
Thank you. So hopefully everyone got the memo and had a chance to look it over. So really just want to talk about the position the district has had is only to treat our athletic fields. And we're starting to see kind of the result of that.
I'm sorry, not just our athletic field, but we also treat some of our high-profile areas.
But I think you have one concept we're starting to see in some of our green spaces, like along Connect Glenbow and along Vernon Avenue, is in addition to dandelions and clover and bases that have pollinator qualities, and we're starting to see some invasives creep in that we don't want to have that are detrimental to both our turf grass and those things like dandelions and clover. And so really want to just have a discussion about how we're going to handle that and lay out kind of really the only three options that are practical for a district, and that's really to continue to not treat all the spaces or to spot treat the invasives that we want to control. Recommendation is to spot treat these areas and bases to make sure we're protecting our turf grass and keeping those undesirable invasive plants out of our turf grass while protecting things like dandelions, clover, and our turf grass.
So we did Kyle did our stewardship contractor, PISO, and asked their recommendation. Their recommendation was also to spot treat those areas because those invasive could do long-term damage. Pretty soon we would have no turf grass in any of those. So, if, for example.
Really, the size and the scope of our park system really wouldn't allow for any other means to control them. So, it's manual removal is not practical or possible for our size.
And how we do this is we have licensed pesticide sprayers on staff, which is ideal because then we have that control of what areas we have. We don't hire an outside contractor who might just do the whole area. We can itemize or really look at those areas and treat those.
Mm-hmm.
on a small scale.
Yeah. So really, the better just open up any questions or thoughts about the board's opinion on if that's a course you want to take, if there's any other questions or concerns or different opinions of any sort.
Any questions? I guess I have one in that, do we expect that, for example, like the sustainability task force will object to this? Like, I guess I'm trying to understand, like, is there, I can understand, I can see the community want beautification, more user-friendly grass, et cetera, to do this. I'm just trying to think of any objections that we might get.
Actually, the Sustainability Committee recommended this also, along with the Friends of the Green Bay Trail, which they do invasive control because they see the damage that some of these invasives can do to your landscape and to the growth of healthy plants that are good for the environment. So, no, they were in favor of this. There will always be citizens that think we should do nothing. And so you will have some of those, but as long as we are very clear when we do it so that children will stay away from that area, which we do, and we post it. So you're always going to have some people, but when you have the Sustainability Committee actually contacted us about this, and Friends of Green Bay Trail, I think this is the prudent way to proceed.
Okay.
Good question, though.
We generally in favor of spot treatment?
Yes.
Okay.
Very well thought out. And yeah, we've had over the years, there's definitely a group, and you'll hear from them. But you guys are the professionals. So it's good that you talk to the other groups as well, because that'll just help them.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, I think we can move on. So, we have a discussion, Lisa and Bobby, about the participant parent guardian code of conduct policy.
Yes, I'm going to throw it right over to Bobby.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. So staff have reviewed and made some suggested changes to the policy to improve clarity, some emerging issues we're having around discipline, create a safe, respectful environment for all participants. So some of the key changes, just to incorporate language that promotes diversity, equity, respect, finding some of the discipline management procedures for fair and consistent enforcement, and to outline specific discipline actions based on severity and frequency of violations. So we're just looking for consistency to move forward with the changes at the next board meeting.
Is there any questions on any of our?
Sort of a minor question. Under the methods and strategies, where it used to be sort of step 1, 2, 3, we've now gone from sort of verbal warning to redirection to loss of privilege. There's no more supervisor meeting or conduct report. Can you just explain what the rationale is? I'm not disagreeing, I'm just understanding.
Yeah, so the methods and strategies is more for our staff to be able to give them more laid out methods. But then underneath, you'll see the discipline management procedure is actually where we start down the discipline road. So we have to, if those methods and strategies aren't working, then we have that step process underneath. So this is just separating it out, strategies from the actual procedure itself.
Expanding it quite a bit, right? You see a conduct report supervisor meeting now. Because I thought the verbal warning was kind of repeated itself, so I didn't quite understand that.
I think the severity of the verbal warnings, the verbal warning may be, hey, we need to stop doing that, or it may be more extreme than that. So that just gives us our staff the strategies to deal with discipline.
Yep. Just a minor thing too, you talk about the counselor, instructor, and coach, just really, you should almost define it as any person representing the counselor, right? It's not just a counselor or a coach. I mean, I presume this could be someone at the beach staff, right? Which is not.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That to me seems focused as opposed to, really anyone who's representing the park district should have the ability to discuss. Because I don't see this as just it. Is this for all of the things that people can participate in? Or is it like a policy? Like, it's going to be somebody participating, or is this more of a programmatic
So I think it could, so if you're visiting the beach, you may fall underneath the comic ordinance for the 700 ordinance.
Right.
This is more of your goal than a specific program.
This is a program,
And this also goes really high to help us if there's more parent guardian discipline issues as well, in addition to just participants.
Okay.
So we're seeing more on the parent/guardian discipline as well, behavior of possible games, maybe just an example. That's more we wanted to clear this up. Also, you'll see some addition to MSS Array, we tighten that up as well. So when we are dealing with individuals who may be in consultation with MSS Array or if they have a disability, that helps to clean that up for us and for participants as well.
If you are impacted by any of this, if there are policy in your own, whether you get your money back for the program, or is that separately?
They don't get their money back if they're disciplined.
No, I didn't see it specifically in here. I don't know if that's.
You're right.
Is there a refund policy though?
Well,
and that would be.
There was.
No, I mean.
That was in here. It said no refunds will be issued. But then that part was taken out.
Correct. Well, we have the flexibility with our refunds where to give a refund if it isn't the right fit, for example. So, like, we have a 100% guarantee. So, if it doesn't fit for the individual, say it's just not working in terms of the structure, we have the flexibility with our managers to say, you know what, we can prorate this and give a refund and find a program that may be more suitable. I think
that's a little bit different, though. That's 100%.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. We just say the child's too young, and that it may tie together because they're acting out because they're really not a good fit for the program. They can do that within two class periods, but normally, if they are being, for example, they go to camp and then we went through this whole discipline, they don't get a refund after being asked to leave the program.
So that's just something to think about, and then I can't see my last question on this. If you are, removed from basketball, whether you're a parent or whether you're a participant, for whatever reason, does that have an impact in the spring when you want to test? Or does that have an impact in the next year when you want basketball again? Like, how long do we have does this code of conduct impact in the
We have the flexibility
I would say it depends on the severity of the incident.
Mm-hmm. You guys are comfortable with it?
Yep.
Flexibility is the key.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes I come back and say, no, you can't kick me out from basketball, but you can't kick me out from tennis. Do you feel your flexibility?
To purposely beg on that? Those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, or intentionally flexible.
Intentionally flexible, I like that,
There is, as the board approved earlier, last year, was the early childhood one. DCFS is a separate discipline policy, so that is separate from this.
If you do get a chargeback, though, you don't have language that says no refund, so they will win that.
I think we should add that, we'll add that back in. At the discretion of the park district, there may be no refunds given or something like that.
Yeah, we might just check one of our policies.
Yeah.
Make sure it's the same.
Yeah. Yeah, because I agree with that.
Because you don't have issues.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the least fun thing to do with your job, so thank you for being done with it. Or one of the least, I should say.
Bart or Jordan, anyone?
One question, over the course of a year, how many circumstances would there be where someone was asked to do the program that wasn't a fit anywhere else? It was really based on behavior, and they didn't get their money back. Is that like 200 times a year, or is that 30 times a year?
I haven't had it since then.
I've only had it once or twice.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah, they signed the books, and obviously the child just couldn't sit there and, do whatever our project, and they were just acting up and running around, this is really not a good fit. How would you put your child in more active class, and then we switch them over to the active class, and the child's great. Parents think that maybe that's good for the child, but it's not fitting for their behavior.
Okay.
we want to avoid getting to the point where we're having the conversation about taking out a long-term ban. We try to either...
We don't like to do that.
...program mm-hmm. or find an alternative or engage with NSSRA, which that has worked out very well for a lot of participants where they just need that additional support.
So if you don't have the ability, if you don't have a statement that if you take that, you're running back, it's not like it's a big financial deal, it's a relatively small amount, and it's probably the stigma of being removed from a partnership program. So right. Insurance is probably saying, okay, hey, we've got to go. We'll do something else. You probably don't want to fight.
The difference is if camp and they're almost all the way through camp, we're not going to give them a refund if we,
yes.
You know what I mean? That's the difference. If we see a child is not fitting a program within the first couple weeks of the program, say it's a weekly program, by the second class, if they're, it's just not working out, you're right. It's better to give them a refund and switch them to a different program. Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Okay, so it sounds like other than maybe a little bit more clarity on the refunds after checking with other policies and language that's
advanced that one? Okay.
Advanced that one.
Perfect.
Okay. And then a discussion of the OSLAD grant.
All right. The OSLAD grant is coming up again. We believe, we don't know the exact due date, but it's anywhere from July to October, to be honest with you. So we're not sure yet. But we wanted to discuss this ahead of time. So for the last 2 years, we have applied for OSLAD grant for the West Park. And the project scope is in here. It included the baseball field, synthetic turf, walking trail, games area, pickleball courts, improved backstop. The items that were definitely in our master plan through the last 10 years were definitely improving the fields and the backstop. The other infrastructure improvements weren't necessarily in there, but we needed more amenities to apply for an OSLAD grant. So since we're going down that road, they said the project was really good. There was just so many people applying. We have won a lot of OSLAD grants, so that might have gone against us. So it's not a bad project. We wouldn't really have to tweak it that much to submit it. But staff was really thinking, is that the right thing to do right now, applying it? Since we're doing our comprehensive plan, should we really see what comes back from the community survey for recommendations? Before we invest, it was close to, how much was that one off the top of my head? I can't remember.
We expect it to be at $1.5 million,
$600,000 grant. Yeah. So before we invest that, is that really what is the driving force to the community, or is there something else they want? Since we're so close to that community survey and comprehensive master plan. So I would recommend that we table it and not kill it, but table it to see if it's something that really has a strong need in the community based on the survey and input we're getting, and then we can always apply again. The OSLAD grants aren't going anywhere. There's the Democrat in office for a while, so we assume that will keep on going strong. But I just think this is the wrong time to do it and just wait and see if something else rises higher. You have all seen our heat sheets and how much infrastructure improvements we have coming up. When we did this, we didn't have dedicated pickleball courts. Now we do. We have 6 of them that were a big part of this program, this grant that was a driving force. Walking trails are always something, but as you can see, we had to cut out half of it so it doesn't even do a loop. Right now, the school would have to fund that portion of it. So that's just our recommendation. So open up for discussion.
Any comments?
Sure. We're going through the whole strategic plan. We're getting new ideas. We're looking at everything again. It would seem to make sense the way and make sure we're picking the optimal program.
Jordan, I saw you.
I agree. I see no reason to jump the gun on something when we're this close to having our plan and having an idea what the community wants.
Agree, just because something's is on sale, you're still spending money.
Granted, we still have to do our baseball infields. It just depends where they fall in that timeline. They need work. They're in bad shape.
It is getting to be more and more of a conversation about the lack of investment in our baseball fields. That being said, I don't think we could redo all of West School to invest in the baseball fields in the time.
Yep. I agree. They're in bad shape, yeah.
They're in bad shape. Like, it's...
I would like to remind them the divestment we made in Berlin, though.
It is divestment, but
it is... And shouldn't invest, but...
That's one field.
One field, yeah.
Yeah. Does West School contribute anything to the fields over there?
No. No, they do not.
I'm 50-50 on this one because we've put off doing things, as you said, on these fields for a while. And, you know, while we have walks, those aren't real pickleball courts. And so not going for it, I don't know, I'm 50-50 on it. Just because, like you said, I don't think Christopher's going anywhere anytime soon. So I think, you know, he's for it. We've seen that over the years. Mm-hmm. But you never know the financials of the state, and the money is there, and they haven't given it out. Plus, we were passed over, so we could be missing an opportunity. Not that we haven't received other grants, but you know, we didn't put in permanent pickleball courts at Lakefront, and now we're gonna pass over it again. So I don't know.
I mean, this is something. We might only be waiting a few months and might still apply for the athletic, right? Or would we miss this year?
Yeah, we would just miss this year. Oh, it comes every year in the, you know, late summer, fall, and lately they've just been saying, hey, the grant's due in a month and a half. And so that's why you want to have this discussion sooner rather than later. And it doesn't mean we're never going to do it, but, you know, there's risk that if they don't do outside next year. So that is a true risk.
How long do you have to spend the money once you get it?
2 years.
How long does it take to draft up the grant proposal, roughly?
It's done.
Oh, it's done.
We would tweak it again. But you would have to commit to spending.
You would use the one that brought.
Yeah, we would use the same one. You would have to commit to spending. So the fields, how much were the field portions of, do you remember?
I believe the field portion for the artificial field was 500. I pull up the exact figure. 540,000 was the conceptual budget estimate for just the artificial field backstop.
Infield only. Oh, infield only,
yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
And what are the conditions of the tennis courts there currently?
They'll be in need of a resurfacing within, I think we have the heat sheet is pulled up right now. Within a few years from now. West is on the heat sheet would be fiscal year 25, so.
So we're going to have to touch them.
And it will be a total remilling, or would it be?
It'll be a milling resurface.
Milling resurface, like Lakefront.
Yeah.
I guess the question that you asked is, if you were to resurface Watts and fix up the baseball field, is that more or less than $1 million total?
So, roughly, we have a $300,000. I have to look for a mill resurface for a tennis court and for the Watts baseball field. Again, we have $600,000, but that's assuming we're the artificial, not doing that. We're just talking backstops, regrading, significantly less than $200,000, I guess.
That's where my math goes, where it's like, yes, we could probably, at some point, we could get 2 million if we put in 2 million, but I could also just put in a million, which is half of 2 million, and bring the park up to 40% standards, not the full 100. And so I don't mind waiting on this. I hate being forced to spend money within 2 years if we don't know what our long term plan is, and knowing that our backstop, not fun, but knowing that our backstop is $1 million to kind of get baseball and tennis courts up to snuff is not a bad position. It's not a bad alternative for me.
But knowing that we have to spend $300,000 on tennis courts anyway.
Right.
Well, that million, so the most we get for outside is $600,000, right? They raised it. So.
But the dollar for dollar?
What?
Is it dollar for dollar?
Yeah, $600,000, $1,200.
Right. If you want to throw it in, you know, to try and get a million out of it, I'd be game for that. But as proposed right now, you're going.
But you wouldn't be able to. Right. You have to have the five. You have to have five recreational elements. So we're talking. What'd you say? A million six.
1.5.
Now with escalations, because that was before. So we're about probably a million, I'm going to say seven because I'm escalating everything 20% right now. So a million seven to do the whole project.
I personally kind of agree with where you're going with this, and just that it seems like we would be, of the 600,000 potential that we would be receiving would be spent on things we don't necessarily, to do things we don't necessarily need. And if we have to spend, you know, $1.5 million on the project of our own money, we could check off most of what we truly need without getting the grant. Like, I don't know, do we really need to kind of maybe take away from somebody who needs facilities just to do a, like, these are fun, but to do a walking path there that, and put the school on the hook for finishing it. It just seems a little odd to me.
And we really need a gazebo out there and the game tables and the, they're not, definitely will be used. I guarantee you those are great amenities. But based on what we have in our heat sheet, is that really?
It's the best bang for your buck, it just takes too much buck.
Right.
Right? Because every dollar is multiplied. But it may take too much buck, and that's what I don't know about. I'm not worried about the OSAP grant not being around next year. I think OSAP has been around. Has there been a year? I mean, besides COVID.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, but during there was a couple, about three, four years during a certain term that there was no OSAP grants.
Okay.
And again, at any point it can be taken away.
Any point can be taken away.
Yep.
That's correct.
It's never a guarantee.
Although we can always. See if there's another Berlin out there that wants
to make
money to be able to, right?
I'm going to agree to disagree, but I do know at some point we got to go to pickleball courts, and this is an opportunity. So just putting it out there.
And that's not to say that we
will ask for them in that survey, I can guarantee.
And that's not to say that we couldn't do that.
Right?
That couldn't say, no, if we milled, so if it's 300,000 to mill this, we can put whatever lines we want. So if the board comes back and says, well, I want to make it, well, if it made it a little bit bigger, it would probably be more money than 300,000, right? To add, yeah. So, but then maybe the trade-off is that we don't do artificial infield turf and go down to just regular infield on those to offset the cost. So it's not saying that we don't do the pickleball courts in the future.
Sorry, Lisa, was the tennis court as part of this, was the surface area expanded? I thought we were...
Yeah, it was where those two pickleball courts are.
Okay, so right now...
Was there how many... No, wait, no, I'm sorry. How many tennis courts are there?
There's no expansion.
Three?
There's no footprint expansion.
Right, there's none. So you can do it...
It's not at all, you're right. So we're really just milling for 300,000 putting down, we could still put those pickleball courts and then we'll just take it, same thing we did here, so.
Yeah, I don't think there's a, that's the thing.
You're right.
Expansion of it, so, I don't know, I mean.
You're right, I stand corrected. It looked like to me like they added, but it was not. Yeah, it's not.
No, it's three courts.
They're right, it is three, it's three courts. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we did. We pulled out the school. We scooped that. This is the school portion. This is our. This would be ours. So we would
probably also ask
put the pickleball courts.
I mean, we have options at the school as well. I don't know what the school is
doing. Well, the pickleball courts, those refinishing, those are, that's our property. So.
Okay.
And they would like it because they're using our pickleball courts already. So they think it's another thing they can teach them. So they're not saying that we never do it because I think that is definitely something that's warranted. Then the neighbors might not agree, which I don't agree to anything, but you know, no, just kidding. So.
Okay, so I'm guessing based on this conversation, I think it sounds like we would maybe table applying for the grant, but not necessarily table the projects.
In the future, we'll just find out we need it, yeah. Because you could do the whole project probably for $700,000 if you just do the softball infields or the baseball field infield. Maybe.
Maybe 800,000. We have to have at some point a talk about if there's economies of scale of doing the 2 or 3 or 4 baseball fields at one time, whether or not that exists.
And this is not a discussion of what we're going to have to do for our capital project. That's definitely a discussion we're going to have,
now,
absolutely.
But at some point in time, that should be
kind of, I agree.
To think about whether or not it's a one-time, all of them are,
Okay, I think we have direction then.
Okay. Perfect, thank you.
Okay. All right. More on the agenda. Radio amplifier purchase.
It's a lot.
It's a busy.
But just think the board meeting is going to go really fast now. So.
We're investing our time now.
This one could be really fast, and I'll just take Kyle, and I'll throw it to you if you have any questions. So, public safety came through our building a couple years ago and discovered that their radios don't work in every part of our building. So, in order to correct that, the technology is changing. We have to put this amplification system in so that when they go through our building, they can talk to each other, which obviously is a very important thing to do. The school has to do the same thing. The library probably has to do the same thing. So this is an expense that we have to ensure to make sure we're the safety of our officers when they come to the building and our participants. So anything else? This is a proprietary thing. There's no bidding. It's a state bid that's already done. So anything else I missed?
Paid for
out of a risk management account.
So, as I recall, the one area that still wouldn't be covered, I guess the signal doesn't work in our FDAC later, is the basketball courts or whatever. I mean, don't I recall the one section that wouldn't have coverage?
Are you referring to the hash memo?
Yeah.
So basically, the pathway, there is a pathway to get their wiring from this portion of the building, the lobby, into the gym.
Yeah.
But it's a little unclear exactly what that pathway would be. In that, in the proposal, it lays out that $3,000 not to exceed for when they're in the field to find that pathway. So it's a single wire. We know the pathway that we're looking to determine what that clear path is to get from the lobby into the gym.
Okay, so when they've done that, then they'll have coverage everywhere.
Everywhere, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Gosh, it seems like a lot of money. I know it's $14,000 for that.
No.
It seems like a lot of money. Yeah. You have to do it.
It's a big building. Yeah.
The labor takes to
do
it.
Yeah, it's a lot of labor.
This 100,000 square foot building and running wire and end-to-end connected devices, I think that's for not the material, but the time.
And we only have one bid, right?
But also, the proprietary
system.
The public safety recommends is basically.
When there's only one bidder, proprietary, it can be expensive. There's no alternative?
Not to hook up their system, which is the purpose of it. And it's labor. They have to do prevailing wage, so.
And the village doesn't help contribute?
No.
Okay. Well.
Okay. All right.
That is what it is. It's frustrating that the village, come in here and say, hey, you have to update your systems. It's just stable. I actually don't quite understand that.
It's our facility, right? And we have to, it's our responsibility to keep the safety of the facility up to code. So
I would argue it's their responsibility, it's public safety's responsibility to ensure that communications are acceptable in public areas, just being one of them. But I will.
They would disagree with you, yeah.
I know, I'm sure. We can agree to disagree,
yes.
And then we move forward with it, but it does seem odd.
All right, well, I think we're going to advance the item anyway, despite the unfortunate, unfunded mandate.
Yes.
You have a lot of those in the state of Illinois. Okay.
We also have the vaccination policy.
Yes. So we're just updating this one. Now that the COVID restrictions have been lifted, we're recommending rescinding the current COVID vaccination policy and putting in place a new one that is more broad to cover all future vaccinations in the future and to those that are required to have it. So there's a whole list of vaccinations that our teachers in the DCFS wing have to have. So this kind of is broad and accommodates all those vaccinations.
Any discussion? Okay.
Okay. It's that time of year to go again for the NRPA conference, which is in October. It's Tuesday through, starts Tuesday morning at 8 a.m., goes through Thursday night at 6 p.m. So staff would have to arrive Monday late afternoon, evening to do the morning sessions. I'm recommending that myself, Bobby, Kyle, and Sean attend the conference this year, and that we also have budgeted one commissioner to attend. If a commissioner does not attend, we would recommend that we allow early childhood director or assistant director of recreation to attend for their continuing education.
I have no problems with this. I even think that perhaps your budget is too low. But that's, I'm thinking of my expense portion. I'm like, $20 for 5 days.
I know, right? We have a state mandated per diem, so that's what accommodates a lot of that.
I'm like thinking of parking at the airport. where's parking at the airport here? But
not allowed to. Yeah.
You can't.
There's very little that we get. Well, we can't do parking right at the airport. So I think that's where. Uber to the airport. So sometimes we even have our parks guys or our rec team or take a van to the airport together. So we try to do it as efficiently as possible.
Anybody want to go? No.
I have thought like you.
I would consider it.
I would pass to someone else, but I went to New Orleans. I went to Indianapolis. Yeah.
I would consider it, but Jordan, if
I would consider
it to you. I would. You know, it depends on the dates. I can't understand.
I have to look it up really quick when it is.
Yeah, really.
You'd have to take off. It's during the unlike IPRA, which does sessions on like Saturday. This one is Tuesday through Thursday.
I've been on vacation all this year, so
you could have a room to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find it. And we have time to.
Wait, a room with no children.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Actually, we'll FaceTime me and make sure the baby screams and cries and lying in bed. So
I can't find it on my calendar. Do you guys have it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Really nice.
10th through the 12th.
I think after one commissioner, I have to ask the question, why don't you ask for 6 people and bring the child director anyway?
You could like say that. That's fine. That would be great. We would love that opportunity.
For people to learn more and to expand more. And I personally,
we do have...
For $2,300, it's not... I don't think it has to be a commissioner or the child, but that's just... I would probably be okay if you expanded it to one more.
That would be awesome. We do have money in the budget for that.
We do.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be great.
I don't know. I don't know how the rest of the board feels.
Would it make sense to wait and check both of your schedules before we, I guess?
We're approving this at the next meeting, because legally we have to approve it. Mm-hmm. So we have a couple weeks to decide.
But the question, the thing you put on there is, you know, are you okay with spending instead of 46, 84, instead of spending... 84, 94, 104. Instead of spending $10,500, are we okay allowing spending up to $13,000?
That's exactly right. We just have it.
I'm fine with it. But.
Yeah,
me too. Great. Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate your support.
Maybe that'll help with the communication between early childhood and mm-hmm. childhood to be part of the rest of the administration. So
I think there's team building involved with this too. Right?
There is. There's a lot of team building, yeah.
Okay.
And networking. Okay.
I think the last item is one we keep talking about.
So we don't really have to, what's coming out is more of what we have to do for this new law. So we really don't have to talk about this. It's just that this is why we did a special board meeting tonight. I just need you to approve this resolution, mm-hmm. which pretty much you already assigned your committee people. So that's all this is.
Okay,
just the thing. There's a webinar later this month about how we have to do the reporting, and once we have that, then we can start meeting with that. So hopefully by July or August, we can have our first meeting and start going on this. But I just needed to know, and I let our committee know that we're waiting for more details from IEPD of what exactly we have to do. And so the webinar has finally been scheduled. I'll have a better idea of what kind of report we need and how you know, things like that. So okay. That's what this is. So I just need your resolution.
All right. So I entertain a motion to approve resolution number 954 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
No, so that's why we called this one, we changed it to a special board meeting because of that. Yeah, yeah. So no, we can't, at committee.
Okay.
Okay.
I think we've discussed this at length, so roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Sprain?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so no need to go into executive session.
I just have a couple other businesses, just to make you aware. We have a couple neighbors that are complaining about the porta potties at Duke. I have responded to those neighbors that said, you know, unfortunately we have participants of that park that keep on using a neighbor's yard and tree line both to urinate and defecate. I can't believe I just said that, and don't put that in the minutes. To you, and that's why we have them. They say they're very unsightly. They want me to move them across the street into the parking spaces, which is a safety hazard. We're not doing that. So what I directed Kyle is to get some prices that we can put, like, kind of like we're doing at Lakefront, some kind of blockage so people don't have to see the porta potty sitting there. We'll just kind of block it with wood. So
the complaint.
The trees at Watson are nice.
These are more. This is more by the streets. I don't know how we can.
The trees at Watson.
Yeah. We could look at that option too.
Also,
where it's located.
I'm also, you know, I appreciate that neighbor's challenge, but I also don't know what we. If it's one neighbor versus the community, I don't know if we have to react to one neighbor.
Well, it's two neighbors that don't like it so far that contact me, but the one neighbor, I'm sure if it was you and someone's coming and pooping in your yard, you would, you know, at least we have a porta potty, we have an option, right?
Right. I think it's the neighbor that's complaining about the sightliness of the porta.
Yes, right, exactly. There are two. There's two neighbors. The site. They're like, this is not conducive to Glencoe. Okay. Okay. Good. I was just like, oh my gosh.
Have a porta potty. Someone's complaining about the sightliness of the porta potty.
Right.
I don't know. There's how much we invest in.
Yeah. So that's what I just thought we do, because we've done it at. We were able to hide it a little bit more at. Phil Thomas Park, we hide it a little bit better. Yeah, because they use it for both trail, and they have easy access because of the trail to clean it. So this one's kind of right on the corner because we have to have easy access to clean and sanitize it. So I just thought that would be a neighborly thing to do since we're going to have that porta potty there. How much do you think that costs? He's just looking into it. Yeah.
Can
do that.
Yeah, I'm gonna put a tree there. I kind of like trees. I think that's a nice. But if it, I don't know.
I'm
just one person.
I'm just trying to envision this. You know, Duke Park trains and the water are on from Memorial Day to Labor Day. That's the main time when that park is used.
Yep.
And then we would have this structure. There's no porta potty potential. I don't know if you'll have how long you have it, but.
April to October.
That also seems to me just like a little. You have like you're bicycling. You have this view of the water, and I don't know. It just seems a little weird to have a bunch of arbor like trees there.
So they would just go where the porta potties are now. That's where they would.
Yeah, and we're talking that we probably could go down to one ADA porta potty, so we can reduce the footprint because we have two there right now. So if we put something around it really increased the footprint, so we'd bring it down to one ADA porta potty. I think that's enough.
I've seen them there. I've seen their access just from the road. They're sort of slid off of a truck.
Correct.
Into place. So, and I wonder what bothers the neighbors. Is it looking across the park and seeing them, or what's driving by?
I think driving by, because really the direct across is our park, and then the houses are here. I can't see how they have a direct line. It's the unsightliness of them driving through the neighborhood, they said.
So you could just do screens, you could do maybe arborvitae on the side, you could do screens, but then you remove the screen, to remove the porta potties.
So the enclosure screen, if we're doing something similar to the lakefront, has an opening for access, and they would pull the thing out through that access point. It's basically, three and a half walls, and the half wall is missing the access in and out.
Okay. They said, can you take the walls down off season?
We could do a sleeve or an anchor in place, so we could theoretically move in the off season. Yeah.
I like that.
Just trying to be good neighbors, but
yeah,
still hit the port visor.
Just random trees so, like yeah. that. Just seems kind of weird.
If it was not there, it's like square.
And then having a structure there when they're not there also just kind of.
I really like the fencing that you added around the train track where I thought it looked nice, and then the fencing actually had a safety element and it actually sort of enhanced it. So, but yeah. You can take that out.
That's why we did the fencing, because kids were just running, like yeah. where they see the park and they run across and kids were getting hit. And, mm-hmm. and they, so, and
it wasn't too expensive, but it actually was a nice visual.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty, yeah. I've also been talking to Phil the village about, we put signs up there to slow down the traffic if there's something we could do permanently, and they're looking into that through their traffic safety experts. If do you put bumps or do you put speed things? So they're looking into that because both of us are concerned about, you know, kids take the parents take their kids out of the car, then they go get the other one. The other one's across the street before, you know. So mm-hmm. we are looking into that also.
I walk by there a lot, and I see that there's a parent or maybe yeah. with like two young kids.
Yes.
And they're trying to get one out of the car, and then it was just.
That's right. It's hard. And, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It would be nice to have that enhanced safety.
So they're working on that. So we talked about that last week. Other than that, the other businesses, our camps start on Monday. We have a preschool camp that started this week, and then next week our camps, and the enrollment is really great. So we'll give more details on that. But we're open for the summer at the beach. The crib ball project had to be extended this week, but they have made sure that people get down the ramp. It's kind of a cold week, so it's been fine. So we hope to finish that. Pouring the cement, do you like, isn't it great?
What are you going to do with that, like, 3 feet? The crib, it looks mm-hmm. like almost mm-hmm. extended the drive a little bit. It looks like there's 3 feet mm-hmm. extra where the crib wall was.
Yeah, yeah.
In between the curb and the
sidewalk.
I will tell you, it looks spectacular.
Yeah, doesn't it?
And it's nice. I go down there, I go down to the beach a lot, and the lady from Christopher, yeah. she's...
Tracy's
she is really good.
She's
lost
down there.
She did our trail too.
Yeah,
she's phenomenal. Yeah.
She's got a ski engineer.
Yeah.
She had just like.
Yeah, she's really good. So, yep. Other than that, that's it.
I did have a question.
Yes.
So, for the beach, someone else asked me this. Is check-in on top not? In the
halfway house.
For the majority of the time, correct. So we had moved it up top. Now it actually helps with flow and getting the number of people, making sure people are sneaking by. So now on Park and Hazel, and then once that member will be able to move them down to halfway house in the slow days.
That also stops people if they come on Saturday and Sunday and they don't have a season pass, they don't have to walk all the way down there. And then walk back up so we can catch them right at the top. So that was a change we made last year.
Well, we talked about it last year.
Yeah.
You're right, we did it right at the end.
Right at the end, we kind of piloted.
People, you used to have, check at the halfway house, you sat people on either end asking them, hey, your season passes, and doing this. I like this better.
Yeah.
I think it's good.
Very nice.
And what are the hours of check-in? When I came, there was no one there when I was there. It was during the week, but it was fairly crowded. That's why I'm asking.
When was that? This week or last week?
This week. Last week.
Last week we weren't open.
We weren't open until Saturday was our full-time opening. Although today we are closer to the temperatures. So now it's 10 to 7.
10 to 7.
Yeah.
I thought we opened on Memorial Day,
no? We open only for the weekend, and then we stay closed because kids are still in school, so it doesn't pay.
Okay. Yeah, so the GJHD beach bash is Friday, so that's kind of like our And the official school started the summer, I'm sure it's gone. So it's always got some temporary hours.
And then also, and I'm sure it's on your social media, I haven't looked, I should look before I came here. I feel like we haven't heard a lot about July 4th, and I know it's probably because of last year, but just wondering, like, are we, what is the plan?
So I can speak to that. So we purposely have not done a lot of publicity. If it was in the magazine that we all participated in, went out to the community. So we were not making a big push outside our area. So you'll see smaller pushes. So we'll be doing our July 3rd, just like last year. So that's when the fireworks were. We'll have a band. We'll have food trucks. We'll have games. That starts at 4 o'clock? 5 o'clock. And goes until the fireworks. And then the next day, we'll have our race, family games.
The village parade
is at 2. We will not have campers walk in it this year, mainly because we're kind of splitting our staff up on the 3rd now that we have 2 days. So it's getting harder to find staff. And we have a lot of staff that aren't ready to walk in a parade. So that kind of took a lot of participants down. And so in the future years, hopefully we'll. And if they're really down on number of vehicles, I will drive the bus in the parade or something like that. So that's what we're doing this year. So our July 4th morning will be the same as in the past. But good question. So we will do social media posts. We'll do our email blast, right? Maybe you could talk, Aaron, what we decide to do.
Will you still do it like outside the library on that board or nothing?
No, we're not doing that.
And the beach will be open July 4th, but not the 3rd. Mm-hmm. So the 4th will be open, and then they will have some probably entertainment and later in the afternoon, I believe.
And then the boating beach is open on the 3rd, as usual, as we traditionally got until 6 o'clock, and then we'll close only on the north side.
That's hard to believe it's been a year.
Yeah.
So fireworks will be, so the beach will be closed on the 3rd, and they're not going to be on a barge.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so there'll be no one down yes. on the beach for the fireworks, yeah.
What about enhanced security for the 4th of July?
So we're working with the village on that. Luckily, the state of Illinois just passed a drone, use of drones for public safety for events. So there will be a drone above and monitored the whole time. We'll have barricades strategically placed. So a car can't go through the park, they'll block that, enhance public safety throughout the park.
Longwood will be closed for the duration.
Duration of the event.
We closed it kind of halfway through the part in the park last year. So now the trucks will be located on Longwood so we can kind of reduce the amount of traffic on park. And then so strategically, we actually going to move the stage to the end of Park Avenue by the overlook, which is not going to be opened this year.
Yes, thank you. That's a new thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you were there last year.
This is for the 3rd.
Yeah, for 3rd.
Which side of park? So where will that be then?
So you know where the overlook is?
Yeah.
So the Chamon overlook, yeah. So the stage is going to be in front of that, and then we're not going to allow participants to go along the overlook because last year it was so crowded it became a safety concern. So we'll have easy access into the park and a lot less bottlenecks. We've had a lot of conversations with public safety on how do we make sure that the density is correct and the right locations. So this turned out to be
allow people, yeah.
Yeah, we might have someone half the people at the overlooks, but we found that traditional Glenboro residents are the ones not sitting on
the overlook
early, that they tend to use the park a little bit more and get their blanket set up. So from a safety point of view, we have to limit the access to the overlook.
And then there'll be easier access should something happen. We'd be able to have all lines open so people can get her. Yeah, last year there was so many people and they just kept on pushing and pushing and it was very unsafe. So
how many, roughly how much park district staff is working?
All of our full-time have to work either July 3rd or July 4th. So
I guess my question goes to that. But I know you're working public safety. Have they done any, or have they suggested any kind of like situational awareness training for staff? Or
we do that internally.
Okay.
We do. And we'll talk with public. We have meetings set up that they would like to enhance that. But it's the full-time staff that work that event now, not. So we've been through all those trainings.
Okay.
But that's a very good question that you're asking. Yeah.
We work closely with public safety to the best we can.
We also have programs on Thursday. We still have camps and students in place. So those staff members aren't coming.
Because the Thursday and Monday this year.
Right.
Frustrating.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's why we're bringing pretty much all the full-time staff will be down there.
Yeah.
Thanks. I have to work that day.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I'm in the company.
If anybody wants to volunteer at the beer tent, let us know. We're not dunking this year. No.
Quinn, they were intense at those
houses. Yes.
It's also like, I felt like I was dousing boring.
We do feel that the lakefront will be open. What we have chosen not to do is that tennis court will be done. We're not doing the color coding because we don't want to get ruined, to be honest with you. So we're going to have it just black, and then we'll clean it, and then the color coding will come in after the event. Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
That's it.
Okay. May I entertain a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.